Hello, it's Thursday, April 6th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. First thing we have to address today is that a lot of you noticed that our entire show wasn't online yesterday. Well, while we were publishing the show, we had a power outage. About 12 or 13 minutes at the tail end of it got cut off. So what we're going to do is talk about those things that got cut off. We're going to talk about that on tomorrow's show. We apologize for that. And we're going to take precautions so this doesn't happen again. Now, our guest today, Mr. Frank Whalen, has a website that can be found at franklyspeakingradio.com. He also does a daily show on RBN Network, rbnlive.com.
A daily four-hour show.
That's right. From 6 to 10 a.m. Central, 7 to 11 Eastern Time. We like to call him the hardest working man in radio. And of all the people we could have on today, there's so much going on in the world. We're glad Frank's on here because we're going to be bouncing all over the place. So, Frank, welcome to Wing Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Victor and Lisa, thank you guys so much. It's an honor to speak with you in any capacity, and even more so to be on the program.
Feeling mutual.
Right. And, Frank, is there anything else we should let the people tuning in today know how they can find your radio show, your website?
No, I think you covered all the bases and did it admirably.
All right, franklyspeakingradio.com. Well, Frank, while I was coming home today, it was breaking news. There's a plea agreement, that's what they're calling it, a plea agreement over this illegal immigration issue. This was in the U.S. Senate. Primarily, I guess, this was pushed forward by the GOP and Lindsey Graham. And let me take about 1 minute to just address it. Basically, it's a three-tier plan that any illegal that's been in the country less than 2 years, they're out. Anyone that's been here 3 to 5 years, they have to go to a port of entry, get verification, they'll get a temporary worker card, then they have to work 6 years before they can start on the 11-year path to citizenship. And finally, if they've been here over 5 years, they're now called rooted illegals. They can immediately apply for citizenship and start this 11-year path. What they'd have to do is pay a $2,000 fine, be English proficient, and have two criminal background checks. Now, with this on the surface, and I know it just broke, what are your thoughts preliminarily on this, what they call a plea agreement?
Well, I think that it's set up by design to fail, plain and simple. Also, today, there is a bill being introduced, I believe it's in California, to address the repatriation situation, which happened in, I guess, the early 1930s in America, where they rounded up illegal immigrants as well as legal immigrants and even actual U.S. citizens from Mexico, and they basically forced them out. They said, look, you know, there's very little jobs here, the depression is on, and our jobs are going to our people. And anyway, some of the things that have been suggested along those lines are an official U.S. apology to, you know, the immigrant families. There is at issue also reparations, so we know how this goes.
Uh-huh.
This is designed to, again, reinforce the idea that if you're against this in any capacity, you are a racist.
Right, right.
And we can see that in the polls. I mean, I last time I checked, it was anywhere from 60 to 90-something percent were in favor of stronger measures taken against illegal immigration.
Oh, absolutely.
Let alone regular immigration. And then the politicians are 70-plus percent in favor
right.
of concessions to immigrants. So
my problem, Frank,
my
concern is this. They haven't wanted to abide by any existing laws or rules thus far. They wouldn't go through the process and take the proper path that exists the way legal immigrants have. What's going to make them want to settle for this, these rules and this 6 year thing and then the 11 year pathway? I mean, they wanted to cut to the front of the line right off the bat.
Absolutely. It's an excellent point, and I agree with you. And I think this is what some of the problems they're going to run into. I think predominantly when you look at the situation, both of you have covered this extensively. We all know that we are headed for outright economic collapse. It's a done deal. The signs have been in the works. Jon Snow is on his way out because they want someone who can more forcefully show how strong the economy is.
Uh-huh.
So you got to wonder about that. Then you've got this mandatory health bill out of Massachusetts they just passed the other day. Well, what that's going to do is if you're poor, you're going to get free health care. But poor, by their definition, it's always in the details. $9,500 or less, you get free health care.
Uh-huh.
You can make over $48,000 and you already have health insurance. Guess what? You're
Right.
Compulsory health care, and if you do not, $1,000 fine every year until you get it. So you look at that situation and you wonder, okay, so now they're going to fine the illegal immigrants, and also part of the package that I'd heard about, I'm not sure if they dropped it or whatnot, was that these illegal immigrants would also have to pay back taxes. So it's all about the money.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm glad you brought up this subject about economic collapse, because just a couple of nights ago, Lisa and I were discussing this, and then I was reading a book this morning that was touching upon it also. And what I told Lisa was that the people in power don't like to be blamed for anything. And she even reported on an article that's saying that the end is near. They know that this is imminent. So they're almost acting as if they don't care anymore. But instead of just having the whole system fall apart and them take the blame, can't you see something like a dirty bomb or a bird flu that's being used as an excuse? Then the system will fall apart so they don't have to take the blame.
I'm thrilled that you brought that up, because this is exactly where we went on the program the other day. There's so many things in the works to indicate that this is the truth, and I agree with you. The economic collapse story is making mainstream news. I read a story in Reuters that said that China is going to handle its U.S. reserve holdings with kid gloves because they don't want to collapse the economy. And I thought, do you realize what they just said?
Right.
Not that China is going to be kind to us, but that China could, if they chose to do so, in one fell swoop, collapse the entire U.S. economy just because. And then they listed their priorities for the way they're going to handle their reserve holdings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I don't remember, the first one was safety, the second one was something else, and the third one was profitability. So the first issue is they want to make sure they're going to be okay. And if they have established that, then they've got no reason to support the United States. So we are on the verge of economic collapse. Gold and silver going up through the roof. Gas is going up through the roof, oil rather. And, yet the stock market somehow still magically seems to be having these record days. It's ridiculous.
Do you think there could be any CIA money being funneled in there? But, you know, when you bring up China, Frank, that's so interesting, because I talk to a lot of people that travel to China, businessmen, and there's this very precarious situation there, because if everything collapses in the U.S., that has a very immediate and dramatic effect on China, because they haven't developed their consumer economy enough yet where they can support all these factories. They still need to dump all their products in America so we can pay for them, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's part of their little safety agenda. But here's what I've found out in the last, I guess, 2 weeks or so. China is looking to put together an Asian currency, much like the euro.
Uh-huh.
So what they're going to do is they're going to start moving towards that. And we're seeing a lot of shakeups. Japan had a little hiccup in their market, which caused Iceland basically almost to collapse, as well as Taiwan. And the ripple effect went through to New Zealand and Hungary as well. So this is happening. It's happening right now, and it's only going to get worse. So, you know, they can bring in a new spin doctor to replace Jon Snow. It's not going to change anything.
Yeah, really.
That's why you see these big pushes for different businesses, you know, this pro-business concession of illegal immigration. That's why. I mean, this is just plain and simple fact. And you're right. They are going to perpetrate something upon us. I see it all the time. I'll give you an example. Friday morning, walk outside of my radio station, big old military transport plane just going right over the building. Yesterday, left the building, come outside, 4 Apache helicopters go flying across the sky, and 1 unidentified chopper behind it as well, all in formation. Today, I saw infamous white boxcars being hauled in front of me.
No way.
I'm stuck at an intersection with a rail track. So, you know, these things are going on.
What's
with the color white? The vans are white? Is that the UN color?
I think it's because it's like a primer. They can go ahead and coat it any other color they need to if they decide, well, you know what, black looks more evil, let's go with that.
Yeah.
You know, they've got all these things in the works. We've talked about it before. The CDC SARS Preparedness Plan, which was put into place in 2003, which talks about interstate and intrastate checkpoints. It talked about armed facilities where they will quarantine people who are sick and people who have been in contact with someone who might be sick. Now, that is a very broad range. And we're talking about basically clampdowns of all over society. We toss in the Real ID Act and the fact that, according to that law, the Homeland Security Secretary can basically annul any and all laws in the interest of security at one of these, at a checkpoint. Most people thought that was a great idea. They thought this is for the Border Patrol.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Not when you're talking about interstate and intrastate checkpoints to get into and out of cities. Well, then you've got your microchip national ID card that's going to dictate whether or not you actually got a vaccine to allow you to travel into and out of these places. That's going to cause massive traffic congestion. People are going to start getting the implants, their own little under-the-skin easy pass to fly through these checkpoints. So then you've got a situation of economic stability. Where are people at in that regard? You've got, a situation where you have to make a very long commute to work because you got to sit in traffic at these checkpoints to get in. All of a sudden, it's not economically viable. When people have to start moving into the city to keep their jobs, well, then you've got this UN rewilding program in full effect. So you can clamp down on those populations in the cities. Otherwise, people are just going to lose their job. And then you've got all these ex-military bases that have been closed yet still maintained,
right,
which could serve as labor camps or debtors' prisons.
Right.
Very, very
interesting. It's getting to be really interesting. Now, the other thing, I'm sure you guys picked up on this, on June 2nd, they're going to be detonating that 700-ton conventional explosive underground in Nevada at the old test site. Now, they, tongue-in-cheek, laughingly said to the people of Las Vegas, pay no attention to that mushroom cloud headed your way. Nothing to worry about here. Well, first of all, that's contaminated soil.
Right.
Okay, because it's at the testing site. Secondly, they also mentioned in the story that they informed the Russians they were going to do this. Now, the reason they're doing the test is to test bunker buster technology, but they're putting the explosive underground, so that's not any busting going on. So it's a lie. Now, according to Russian scientists, what they're trying to do is displace the seismic pressure at the Yellowstone supervolcano, and what that's going to do is perhaps send the seismic pressure along the fault lines in along California and Nevada. So whether or not that results in anything, who knows? But, you know, we all know that the powers that be would love a volcanic eruption because there's your population control, there's your global dimming, which staves off global warming.
And there's your distraction.
Continue.
Yeah, right. A good distraction, too.
Absolutely. So I find it extremely interesting that this month, in April, they have this huge, massive push all in Nevada and in California to alert them to earthquake preparedness.
Yeah.
That's very intriguing. So then you got those things. You got the bird flu, which you've already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
What about this
very
one?
Likely.
What about this little tidbit, Frank?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say terrorism as well. I mean, these are big, big, big issues, and they're happening right now.
Yep.
We were talking for a few minutes before the show about this. Bush authorized the leak. I. Lewis Libby tells a federal grand jury that it was actually President Bush who gave him permission to leak the information to now famous New York Times reporter Judith Miller in 2003.
Right, via Dick Cheney.
Now, imagine the implications of that. It's even higher than Cheney, as everybody else was thinking before.
And plus, this came at a time when George Bush was being very openly critical of people that were supposedly leaking information, and now we find out it's going straight to him.
Anybody in my administration breaks the law and they're gone, I believe.
Yeah. So, what do you think of that?
I think it's incredibly interesting, and I think that might be sort of a just something that was floated out there by Libby's team to try to get some huge, huge, huge concession his way. But at the same time, I also know as well as you guys do that they need a distraction now. They need a distraction like they've never needed one.
Oh,
and I don't think it's going to come with Iran now.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny again that you mention that because just yesterday there were reports that there's these new war games going on in Iran, that they're testing anti-aircraft, land-to-sea missiles. The IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, is going to go back into Iran. Where do we stand there, Frank?
Well, I think that Iran was a real problem for a long time, and it was absolutely on the agenda, and I think that it still is. But I think that it's kind of been tucked aside. The real threat now, in the eyes of the administration, is Venezuela. And the reason why that happens is, you know, they're going to raise the average price per barrel of oil up from $20 to $50. Now, when you set it at $50, which we're way past anyway, so it's not that big of a surprise, at $50, all of a sudden Venezuela, who had, I guess, millions or billions of barrels that they couldn't officially claim because it was heavy crude that cost too much money for them to apply, at $50 a barrel, all of a sudden Venezuela has more oil than every single other country on the planet combined.
Well, that's what we just posted yesterday on our website, that there was this new release that they're saying they have more oil now than even Saudi Arabia. And since Chavez has been thumbing his nose at this administration and the globalists as a whole, where are we going with them?
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, Venezuela has been training their civilian population and arming them in these guerrilla tactics tactics. In fact, they've been training pretty much every weekend to repel a U.S. invasion. You've got the base in Paraguay, which is of a high concern to all of the surrounding countries and whatnot. That base was supposedly for humanitarian purposes, but upon investigation, there has been no budget allotted to that base for humanitarian efforts, which you'd think, of course, they would do that. But yet, it's a base that holds 16,000 U.S. troops. I mean, they're not completely stocked as of yet, but it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got that, and then you've got the situation where the U.S. State Department, in a little-known story, volunteered to send U.S. troops into Colombia to deal with narco-terrorists.
Again.
Okay, so then you've got that, and the U.S. Navy is sending out an aircraft carrier strike group down to South America, Central America area to fly the flag and let our friends know we still care. That's an actual quote.
Is that the American flag, or is that the Mexican flag, or what?
It makes you wonder, but guess when they started that? Well, that's happening this month, too.
Huh. What about this bill before the Senate Appropriations Committee? Guess what? The Pentagon's getting another $68 billion. Well, I mean, Halliburton's getting another $68 billion for the Iraq mission. I mean, it never, ever ends.
It's an absolute travesty. I was talking about it the other day, maybe even today on the show. The days kind of run together for me. I'm an idea man. You know, I'm a big fan of ideas, and I think ideas are worth believing in. The implementation of these ideas, the facilitation of these ideas, the people who further the ideas maybe aren't worth faith per se, but, you know, sometimes you have to make that leap. But you know, this country was founded on an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful and brilliant and poetic idea. It's never achieved that. People talk, we got to take the country back. The country's never been what the idea was. It's been better than it is now, but it's never been good. And, it makes me sad. It makes me ashamed.
Very sad.
Yeah. Now, Frank, this is a question that deals with a subject that we very rarely bring up on Wing TV, but we're going to start because it's becoming so imminent and so mainstream now, and that's global warming. Of course, the concept's been around forever, but now, in the latest edition of Time Magazine, front cover, probably a 15-page article, 60 Minutes just did a big thing about one of Bush's cabinet members that said he was censored. He was from NASA. And on, all these various radio shows, and when you look at the polar ice caps and the rainforests, and on and on and on. Is this a problem?
It is a problem, and the problem comes from the most unlikely source of all, and that's the Pentagon. In 2003, they released the Pentagon Climate Report, and in that report they stated that in the next 20 years, and obviously, you know, we're already 3 years into it, in the next 20 years, give or take a decade, we are going to see wars being fought purely for survival, for natural resources. Now, we haven't had wars purely for survival in thousands of years.
Right.
It's always been about profiteering. It's been about greed. Well, the idea of that takes things into a new perspective because, and I would encourage people to go and read that, and you won't find it in the American press per se, but you'll find it in the Guardian, the British press. They did a great expose a couple of years ago. And in this thing, they talk about water level rising, entire populations, indigenous populations of islands being wiped out, and huge colonies of boat people trying to acquire, you know, a new place to live and just the ability to survive. So boat refugees landing all over the European Union countries and certainly all over North America and different things like that. Well, take that and take it another step further. Well, look at who our neighbors are, Mexico, Canada. All right, we have oil in Alaska. Canada has the oil sands in Alberta. Mexico's got a huge oil find that they just made. Then you've got all the Gulf Coast oil production facilities. We have to be good with our neighbors. We have to be tight with them because they're going to be all we have. It's going to be a big North American union designed solely to protect itself. And if that means no borders, so be it.
Frank, how much of a factor do you think the HAARP project is with this global warming? I mean, they never talk about that, its effect upon our atmosphere, how they're disturbing the delicate balance of our atmosphere. I mean, I always wonder, you know, how much this is contributing to this climate change.
Yeah, I think it's extraordinarily likely. I mean, if you look at the countries that are reputed to have, you know, weapons control, weapons modification technology, it's enough. It's enough where you have at least two, right? The Russians and the U.S. and you've got them, and they're both trying to maybe influence things positively in their direction, well, what happens then? And, of course, they could be trying to influence it negatively in their direction as well. But when you start getting that kind of tampering, I think it's just like setting off a chain of dominoes. It's not going to stop until the last one falls, and I think that's where we're at. I mean, you've got the atmosphere. It's enclosed. When you start pushing in one direction, it's going to have to eventually go all the way back around.
Yeah. Now, Frank,
I think it's a huge factor.
Right. With George Bush basically being a lame duck already,
yeah.
there's a few whispers about 2008 starting to come down the pipe, and I saw something yesterday. Tom Tancredo could possibly be a front runner for the GOP. Then on the other side, of course, we have Hillary, and she's naturally the front runner. But it seems like even a lot of the liberals and the Hollywood crowd
are souring on her.
And there was a quote from George Clooney that says that he said that Hillary, what she's done now since she's all of a sudden become a war hawk, is she's backed the Democrats into a corner with this war. And George Clooney said that Hillary is the most polarizing figure in American politics. Now, I don't know if he was talking about her hips or her politics, but what do you think about Hillary out there? And either her hips or her politics. You can comment on either one.
Oh, wow. Well, I got to tell you, I agree. I think she's the most dangerous wild card out there, and I think efforts are already being made to portray her as the next president. Now, you look at all the things that are going on and the different situations, even the smaller issues like Cynthia McKinney. You know, this is something people, oh, well, you know, we just don't treat women right in this country and whatever color they might be and this and this and this. So, you know, that's going to swing a little bit towards Hillary, I think. William F. Buckley came out and endorsed Hillary. He said she'd make a fine president. She's a strong powerhouse.
Oh, my God.
And he said her beliefs are not so far left that I consider her to be threatening.
You know what?
Policy-wise.
Oh,
well, Bozo the Clown would make a fine president at this point. What do you think about this guy, Brian Doyle? Is this guy a moron or what? The Department of Homeland Security guy who was soliciting the alleged 14-year-old who ended up being a detective undercover?
Yeah, that's bizarre. I mean, if you think about it, this is just a whole slew of things. This is the second Homeland Security indictment, official indictment, in the last 2 weeks. I mean, this one was for that, and there was another one 2 weeks ago that was a little lower profile. The other thing I thought was extraordinarily interesting, which ties in with Homeland Security in general, is the fact that Michael Chertoff was in China recently meeting with the Chinese, and what he said was our bilateral law enforcement relations are of paramount importance to us. Huh?
Mm.
You start thinking about that, and then you got the Russians who said that when they attain the presidency of the G8 summit, they're going to push for standardized anti-terrorism laws.
Mm-hmm.
So then where does that take us? All of a sudden you have to take every country in the world who's opposed to terrorism, which you'd think for their own self-interest they should come out and say they're opposed to it, and they all get a say in what the standardized global anti-terrorism laws consist of.
Well, that means
you've got to define who is a terrorist and what the repercussions to being a terrorist would be. Now, you take it, that means most of these countries have a little bit of legislation they're going to put into the mix to make this perfect pie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the U.S. has their Patriot Act. The British have their national ID card. You know, it just goes on and on.
Exactly.
And on.
Yeah. Well, a couple of days ago, Frank, I think everybody breathed a sigh of relief when Tom DeLay, the Hammer, came out and said he wasn't going to run for re-election.
Have you seen his mugshot picture, by the way? Good Lord. I thought they might have added the little gleam, you know, like they do on the toothpaste commercial.
Uh-huh.
I think that just comes naturally when you're a politician, you're slimy and plastic, and that sheen is just natural.
Oh, God.
All right.
And, you know, he came out and he said he's doing it for the good of the party and he's innocent, but he doesn't want all of the attention focused on him. But we keep hearing the words, the culture of corruption. Frank, what is this culture of corruption? And since RBN broadcasts out of Texas, you're close down there to seeing this stuff firsthand. How sleazy was this guy?
From what I understand, the guy was just an absolute nightmare. I mean, he was the thing that a lot of people don't realize is this guy was warned on the record 4 times about ethics violations before they finally got him. I mean, he was like, you know, the Teflon politician for a while there, but they finally got him. And again, this is the intentional tanking of the credibility of the Republican Party leading into 2008. I mean, you look at John McCain, okay? He was supposed to be this big front runner. John McCain, who's all in bed with Jerry Falwell now.
Yep.
John McCain, who did a speech at a union worker meeting the other day and told those people, hey, illegal immigrants are important people. They'll do the jobs that you won't do. I'll pay anybody here $50 an hour to pick lettuce. People erupted in protest. They said, I'll do it. And he said, you can't do it, my friends, implying that we don't have the integrity, the intestinal fortitude, the endurance, and the desire to take care of our family to do any and all jobs available. John McCain is sinking his own ship, as are the majority of the Republicans. But when you line it up one after the other about the Republican Party just in the last few months, it's devastating.
And then we got Cynthia McKinney throwing out the race card. Katie Couric going to host the evening news on CBS, Miss Chipper.
I'm telling you.
We're going to take that seriously. Yeah. And it's just on and on.
The age of the woman, Lisa. You're sitting pretty.
I disavow.
Most and all of them. I mean, it ends up, Frank, is like how many times a day do you just shake your head and wonder if every day now is April Fool's Day?
Look, the whole world's upside down, Frank. Have you noticed?
Every single day. I was talking about this today. I was talking about my ability to multitask. It is God's gift of attention deficit disorder to me in order for me to function in this job and in this society. And it's just, I really truly believe that because it takes so much effort to kind of run the marathon. Think about the destination. Think about where you are and think about what it's going to take to get through it all at the same time. I mean, to have that multifaceted focus is truly a gift in what we do because you have to look in every direction all the time.
Right.
And it's exhausting.
It is.
Oh, you better believe it.
It's overwhelming.
It. And Frank, I got one more question for you, but before I ask it, let everyone know how they can find your website, how they can find RBN, and how they can find you.
Well, you're very kind, and I appreciate that. FranklySpeakingRadio.com is the best way to get a hold of me. My off-air number is there. Snail mail, if people have something they want to send that maybe they don't feel comfortable talking about on the air or even off the air over the phone these days. I'm on Republic Broadcasting Network. That's rbnlive.com, 6 to 10 a.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. And we take calls. It's a live program. I love the interaction. I want to hear from everybody because you guys are seeing things that I'm not seeing, much like I'm sure you guys would agree. You know, we're all on the same side here.
Oh, that's right. And you know, if you like what you're hearing today from Frank and you can hear just how much knowledge he has about the world, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, you know what they call this show? The fastest 4 hours in radio.
That's right. And just you go to rbnlive.com, go to his website, listen in, tune in every morning, and this is what talk radio is all about. So last question, Frank. And, you know, we hear so much bad news, but every once in a while we get a little good news, and the OKC bombing. Over 10, 11 years ago now, but there's this judge out there, Dale Kimball, I think is his name. Was that it? I think Dale Kimball. And he was saying his latest ruling that the feds and also the Southern Poverty Law Center are going to be investigated further, possibly implicated. Now, you know, we've heard this, you know, cry wolf how many times now.
We're just waiting to see how long it takes before the hammer comes down on that one.
But, I mean, it's at least it gives us hope that possibly the truth is coming out.
I agree with you. It is a ray of sunshine on a dark, cloudy day, and we need to cling to these little victories. What we've got here is a series of pattern of events, and if people think on a broader term, they're going to understand how important this story is. Why is it important? Not simply because of just Oklahoma City, but because you have a pattern of events, okay? The Lusitania, Pearl Harbor, Gulf of Tonkin, September 11th. All of these things are manufactured. All of these things were done by design. All of these things are proven through fact and through legitimate research, they are absolute frauds. The official story is BS. So as a result of that, what we have to do is allow enough attention to be focused on all of these things, enough pressure to keep pushing this thing forward. The truth, it needs to stay on track, and we need to keep shoveling the coal into the burner.
Absolutely.
It's the only way anything's going to happen. Obviously, you've got all these different elements going on, including, you know, the Massawi trial. I mean, the government's coaching witnesses. I mean, these are things we never would have expected 10 years ago, or at least I wouldn't have. I'm shocked and amazed that we're seeing these things in our lifetime. But if we can all devote a little bit of attention to all these different points and keep pressing and keep pushing, the house of cards is going to fall. It's going to collapse, and there's not a damn thing they can do about it.
That's right. And it's getting close to that. That point right now, that critical mass. And everybody out there, tune in to Frank. FranklySpeakingRadio.com, RBNLive.com in the mornings. And, Frank, we think you're absolutely wonderful.
We think the world of you, Frank.
And so just
you
keep
guys
up.
Are too kind. I love you both, and God bless you. And please, please, please keep being that great, leader on the point here who's all of us can follow in your wake, and certainly makes it easier for the rest of us.
Yeah, we're just walking alongside you. That's
yeah.
All.
Well, Frank, thanks for coming on today. Keep up the good work. And everybody out there, we'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.